Welcome to the 73rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis.
They just keep flying by, don't they? We're going to be at 100 in no time.
Yeah, I think I have that calculated out, that date. We'll have to look at the calendar. Let's see here. What do we got coming up podcast-wise? The end of the year, I think we're going to do a clip show.
So
I'm not sure about the format yet, but I think you and I will probably get together and listen to a few clips from maybe the most popular episodes. Or if you want to hear anything in particular, if you want to hear us remark and react to our own wrong answers,
wrong,
then you can write us and let us know what you want to hear again. And that'll save you some time searching through the back catalog. And we'll just compile it for people that are maybe new listeners, but haven't had the time to go back and listen to all 100 plus hours of this podcast so far.
I was thinking that when I went back and found the me doing the air horn on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
When Taylor had mentioned the air horn sound on the keyboard. And I was like, man, what a classic moment. It was like episode like 12 or something.
Yeah. So many. They all blur together ago. For me.
And then I was like, I wonder all these people saying that. As a matter of fact, I just met a guy named Steven. Who came to my trivia on Wednesday, and he was saying he like drove to St. Peter or something like that and binged a bunch of episodes. And all these people that are listening to episodes that were from, you know, over a year ago, year and a half ago now, they're hearing the stuff that is new to them, but for you and I, Jesus.
Well, my track record would probably be new to me, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Could ask those same questions.
I don't remember that stuff at all. So, you know, they're hearing stuff that may have been really, really funny that I don't remember happened at all, but there are like little bits and pieces of like the air horn thing, which will always stand out to me because I thought it was just so funny when I was doing it.
Yeah. And so I also love that episode that we had Eric on, and he was asking the question about gingers.
And, oh, yeah. And Jamie was cracking up.
And that was a great moment. Eric couldn't get the answer out, and then you just like let it fly. I won't spoil it for you. You know,
good stuff.
But yeah, how was your week in trivia? I guess you talked to some podcast listeners this week, it sounds like. What else
I
happened?
Did, yeah. Well, I actually had a question for you. Because I know originally the idea was quizmaster to quizmaster talking about stuff, but you can only do that for so long. But so Wednesday, we had a blurter.
A blurter outer.
A blurter outer.
Wrong.
Yes. Now, the thing is, you get blurter outers who are not on a team. Drunk guy at bar, talking to girlfriend, wants to show off. 1975. Whatever. But sometimes you get blurter outers who are on a team. And it's an interesting thing to deal with because, for all intents and purposes, it makes no sense to blurt out a correct answer if you're on a team, because you want to have the upper hand of knowing the answer and not having anyone else know the answer.
Yeah.
So why?
The only dastardly reason I could think is that if you thought the question was too easy and you want another one, so something like that.
Well, that's a high level
metagame, I think.
They're
probably not thinking about that.
The other one, of course, is to try and give a correct answer. Or an incorrect answer that sounds correct. So I have two questions for you. Question one, if someone blurts out that is on a team an answer that is incorrect, do you, but could be correct, do you ask another question or do you just keep the same question?
I try to gauge the volume of the outburst. So if it's a team that's really...
I mean, it's audible.
Yeah. Audible to everybody?
Audible to everybody.
Everybody heard it?
Yes.
New question. Sorry, I'll be right back.
Even if it's wrong? Even if it's the wrong answer?
It depends. It's really contextual. Is it, like, obviously wrong? If it's obviously wrong...
No. And that's what I'm asking. Yeah. I'm saying, if I say, what year did, the Flintstones first... first come out, or what year did Alf first come out?
Yeah, and I say, I broadcast it. 1982.
Right.
I broadcast my guess.
And the answer is 1985.
Yeah.
But you know they're in the ballpark. And even if they're just doing, because I had this team that was doing, and I think what was happening was they were just sussing loud. One of the guys on the team was clearly super intoxicated. That's what I meant, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think they were trying to...
Did you acknowledge it? Did you say, like, hey, don't shout out the answer?
Well, or? So I didn't. I tried not to acknowledge it. I tried not to draw attention to it.
Yeah.
I tried to take it as they're on a team. Why would they want people to hear it? Mm-hmm. Why would they want people to hear that, you know, they're them sussing out an answer? But I did in between say, you know, please don't scream out answers. Please make sure you're watching your volume. But it, I mean, it kept happening, and Seth was getting pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, my what I kind of wanted to say to Seth was, I mean, if the answers they're saying are right, then just take the right answers, and everyone benefits. I mean, everyone on the side. I mean, it's a bummer, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know,
that's pretty tough. So you had loud, it wasn't really an outburst, but it sounds like more loud sussers.
Exactly.
Very loud sussers.
Yeah. I mean, because they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I don't know.
Extremely loud and incredibly sussed.
It's good. So it's kind of hard to tell. Again, there's no benefit at all.
Yeah.
For other people to know what answers they're.
And they maintain this volume through the entire. Trivia?
For most of it, yeah. I think eventually the other people on their team reined the guy in. Because the first round, they tied with Seth's team.
Yeah.
And the guy came up, and the guy was, like, wobbling. So, I mean, the guy was clearly, like, inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was the main loud susser.
just picturing this now.
And then, I don't
1982.
Know.
1982!
And I don't know... I don't know if it added to it, but Seth was pissed off. But the guy also beat Seth in the tiebreaker.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if that, like, added a little bit to Seth's, like...
Of course it did.
The question... That
would rub anybody wrong if they're acting out.
And the question was, in the phonetic alphabet, the letter C is denoted by what word?
C? In the phonetic alphabet?
Yeah.
C, ocean, like S-E-A?
No, the letter C.
Yeah, phonetically, it sounds like the word C.
No, the phonetic alphabet is like Alpha, Bravo.
Oh, okay.
The phonetic alphabet.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the guy raised his hand and said Charlie, and Seth, I don't even think, got a chance to raise his hand.
I would have gotten that wrong.
And then the guy went back and started sussing, and Seth was just like, Seth, so here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
Seth was like, you should... knock points off for them loudly. Sussing.
Not on a first violation. For the, if I were you and I heard this and it was like a continued thing, like maybe the first time if I noticed it, I'd probably just like try to ignore it. Maybe if it's just a loud suss, because as you said, you're only hurting yourself by broadcasting your thinking process, you know? But if it was like, every single question, and I felt like it was bothering other players, I would first probably go up to them and say, like, hey, just so you guys know, like, a couple other teams have indicated to me that they can hear you working out your answers. And if you'd like a good chance of winning the prize tonight, you might want to, you know, try to suss it out a little quieter or something like that. Like, my team, the Squeaky Chairs, they use notepads. They don't even talk anymore.
Right.
They just communicate in silence. And, hey... they're our winningest team at number 3. They've won almost 30 games. So I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if...
I don't know if I would remove points unless it was like something really out there. Like after that conversation, they start getting louder and louder. Then, you know, maybe some punishment is in order. But
do you think that them being the winningest team is because they are writing down notes to communicate? Or do you think that the fact they're writing down notes... denotes the level of intelligence that a team that is the most winningest team has?
It's probably column A and column B, honestly. I mean, how many times have you played trivia and overheard other teams working it out? It's somewhat common, you know?
I mean, I guess I have, but I've never tried. I mean, you know, it's been a long time since I've played trivia.
Yeah.
I've been getting pretty itchy.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, I've been super fucking busy, but, you know, thinking of Sussin with Fletcher and Kristen and Jamie... we're so in our own that I pretty much block everything out, but occasionally there would be the, you'd hear chirp and you'd be like, all right, well, this is something to consider.
Yeah.
But never something that we'd just be like, oh, well, like I said, 1977, so it's got to be.
Right.
You know, like, because.
Well, it's never got to be, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's the other thing with this loud sussing is that all it really does is throw another possibility into the pool.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy yelling 1983 for, you know, the premiere date of Alf or whatever, mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's 1983. It means, is 83 a possibility? Does this guy know what he's talking about? It is in the right, like, area, you know.
I would just say, yeah, it's more of like a standards violation. If this was like a regulated sport, you know, you would not want players to be, you know, inhibiting the thought process of other teams. So you would probably have some kind of mechanism to like discourage that behavior from happening. But in a free form trivia night, you know, stakes are kind of low. You're just playing for the gift card of the night or something like that. You could probably just, I don't know if I would deduct points unless it seemed like there was absolutely some kind of malicious intent, you know, to the, to it, or disruptive intent,
right,
you know, to the game.
Is what I figured the answer would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, a pretty cool thing I found, but I forgot to bring it with me. I found the notebook.
From Cool Hand Luke's?
No, oh. From the beginning of Nice Guys. That I originally used to keep scores.
Oh, handwritten scores.
Handwritten scores and team names.
Wow.
From when I originally started at Nice Guys.
We got to archive that shit.
I know. I've got it sitting on my
couch.
Hand
that over to Mike Cosden.
I've got it sitting on my couch. And, you know, this morning I talked to you and I was like, oh, I got all the time in the world. And, of course, one thing led to another and I was emptying a dishwasher. And then next thing I know, I was like running out the door. So I ran right by it. But, yeah, very, very cool. I was like flipping through it and I was like, holy shit. Like, I've got all the numbers added up, like 6 + 2 + 4 + 0 + like, so I had a column, you know, for each question that I asked. Very, very neat.
A handwritten spreadsheet.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Cool. Indeed. All right, man. Well, you want to go over our weekly wrap up? And I mean, I guess we did a little bit of a weekly wrap up, but this is more about the performance of our teams, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Let's do it.
All right, on Monday, November 19th at the Palace for No Nonsense Trivia 243, Trivia Newton-John, Sofa, King, Smart, and The Moist is Back and It's Wetter Than Ever jockeyed for the victory, each winning a round, with Trivia Newton-John coming out on top with 98 points. Fresh off their victory, the TNJ sought another on Tuesday, November 20th at Gather, but could only pull it together for the third round prize. Tarp and Charlie's took the evening's top spot that night with 73 points. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza this week?
They did well. As I mentioned previously, there was a tie for the first round.
Seth and the Loud Guy.
Seth and Jamie's team, the Amazing Racist.
Seth was on that team?
Yes, okay. Flanked by Aaron, mm-hmm. a Fletcher and Kristenless Amazing Racist, tied in the first round against... the hell was the name of their team? Against Des Nuts, who...
Des Nuts?
tried to write Des Nuts.
Oh.
But wrote Des Nuts instead.
Gotcha. Long E sound.
Indeed. But from there on out, Des Nuts didn't do so hot.
Des Nuts did dastardly.
The second town was run by the second town. The second round was run by The second round was won by Mark Davis, lit a fart on the Hindenburg. But the third round and the final round was won by the Amazing Racist, Jamie's team, winning it all finally, ending their streak of bad luck with a whopping 41 points and winning the night.
Congratulations to the Amazing Racist on their victory. To Mark Davis, lit fart on the Hindenburg, Oh the Humanity, on
yes.
their team name. And Des Nuts on their terrible team name.
They
tried, was that the shouted out team?
Yes. And they tried...
Des Nuts.
They tried so hard to write Des Nuts after that. Oh, and
how did they do so well at trivia? It seems like they couldn't get it together at all.
They were walking up and I said Des Nuts and someone was like, oh, and I was like, I think they were trying to write Des Nuts. But they wrote Des Nuts, and the drunk guy goes, someone said something, and he goes, oh, it wasn't me, it was this, and then he used the R word. And I was, and everybody was just kind of like, mm. And I think he apologized after that, but it was just like, ugh. It's not a good look. It's not a good look for their team at all.
Just the cherry on top, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Does nuts. Please don't come back. On Thursday, November, that's not my place to say, but I'm saying it.
Or come back with your shit together. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, get your shit together first and then come back.
There you go.
Des Nuts. All right. And then on Thursday, November 22nd at number 3, he brought the kids and the squeaky chairs took the first round. As You Wish took the reins during the second and third, but still couldn't top the squeaky chairs from besting them with 102 points to the squeaky chairs. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First, on November 25th, that's tonight, the night that this episode is airing at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral, I'm sharing my three song stories with WGCU's Three Song Stories podcast, Mike Kniry, Richard Chinqui, and Tara Callaghan, followed by an all-music-themed no-nonsense trivia challenge where you'll be able to use hints from episodes of their Three Song Stories podcast and win some fabulous public radio prizes. That's tonight, Monday, November 25th at Palace Pub and Wine Bar at our usual quiz start time of 7 p.m. On Tuesday, November 26th, we'll be at Gather for our 244th quiz. Come win some Gather gift cards on a Tuesday night. Categories for that quiz will include Broadway, Pokemon, texting acronyms, modern rap, science fiction, Chicago pizza, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about mathematics selected by Tarpon Wildcats. Wednesday, November 27th, in Cape Coral at 9 p.m., Nice Guys Pizza, trivia, Mark Davis?
Yes.
Yes, go see Mark on November 27th, this Wednesday.
Come on down.
That starts at 9.
And that will be the night before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very busy.
Yeah.
So I would strongly suggest that you get there early. Usually we have a lot of people here from out of town. So we have people either going to trivia or just stopping by Nice Guys because they're in town. So
Mark's 1,000 friends.
Well, my 1,000 friends, as well as Greg and Jovan's 1,000 friends, Skylar's 1,000 friends.
It's the spot to be on a
Wednesday.
It's
the spot to be, yeah, pretty much all the time, and especially the night before Thanksgiving.
Yes. Speaking of which, we will not be doing trivia on Thanksgiving night at
Surprise.
Number 3. I believe they'll be closed. We're definitely not doing trivia. We will resume the following week on December 5th with our standard no-nonsense trivia challenge. Categories for that quiz will include Shakespeare, World War II, South Park, 90s hip-hop, butts and boobs, and more. The final wager question that evening will be a question about Dungeons & Dragons, selected by last week's biggest learners, Dungeons & Dragons and Brooklyn was their team name. And then December 7th in Cape Coral at number 3, we're going to be doing our Rick and Morty trivia at number 3 in Cape Coral, as I just said. Let's see here. We've got some fabulous Rick and Morty themed prizes, courtesy of Cool Comics and Games. We're going to be quizzing you all about the beloved hit Adult Swim animated series Rick and Morty, featuring mind-bending questions about your favorite characters from the show, memorable moments, cameos, behind-the-scenes trivia, and more. Join us for Rick and Morty trivia on Saturday, December 7th at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us, won't you?
Tom Lotz is a hell of a guy.
Yeah, he is. I haven't seen him in a minute. I went to, on Halloween, I think I went over to Cool Comics and signed up for some, I don't know, comics rights thing. There were some comics activists there. Oh. I just gave them money. I don't know what their cause was.
Here.
No, I'm just kidding. They were. It's like a comics grading, local comics grading commission or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, cool.
And yeah.
Also just found all my D&D books.
Nice. Which editions?
Big time cleaning in my garage, 3.5.
Ooh, maybe I'll have to ask you about that Dungeons & Dragons question I got to write coming up.
I'll definitely listen to it.
Did you flip through?
I got a good Dungeons & Dragons question for you.
Ooh.
To ask.
Do you have it right now?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe I should ask you off mic and you can use it.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break and you can ask me that.
All right.
And we'll be right back. Mark, how did I do on your D&D question?
You worried me there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
because you were like, huh, which of course is the Quizmaster's dream.
Right.
To see someone sweat. I was
on the edge.
Speaking of sweating, I had some delicious Indian food last night.
Oh, yeah.
New Indian place in Cape Coral.
Can't wait to go.
The best chicken tikka masala I've ever had in my life.
Mm, okay.
I've had tikka masala many, many places. I know it's not a traditional Indian dish.
Mm-hmm.
It is the national dish of England. But it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Garlic naan. They were out of samosa, which was a bummer. But it was really, really, really fucking good.
We've been, it's been nice having a recce food truck at our Monday night trivia at the Palace. I've been getting 2 to 2.5 days worth of food
before
I go home.
Hell yeah.
Including all versions of tikka masala, butter chicken, an empanada, samosa form, just a bowl. I get it all, basically.
Jesus,
we're blessed in Southwest Florida with some new Indian food. After having a drought for a while, really, there was just that one buffet place. Anyway,
let's get started with some trivia.
You didn't. Yeah. So,
You did very good.
Thank
and you answered the question correctly.
Thank you.
If you want to use that, you can.
Yes.
We didn't want to ask it on mic in case you do.
I will
using
be
it.
Using that question. That's
okay.
A great question. Thank you for that.
Thank
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and have you start. I know I started last.
Okay.
Seth started last week. I started the week before. So after your long streak of beginning, you can go ahead and begin again.
It feels good to be back. I got a musical instruments question for you. You're
okay.
A musician, Mark.
I am.
That's why I'm especially curious if you would get this one. The allochrome is a musical instrument that is made of two what? The allochrome. A-U-L-O. C-H-R-O-M-E. Allochrome.
A-U-L-O?
Mm-hmm. It is a musical instrument made up of two what?
Never heard of this thing.
Interesting.
I'm even having trouble discerning what the prefix aulo would mean. To what? Can you read it one more time? The allochrome is a musical instrument.
That is made of two what?
That is made of two what?
Mm-hmm. I had so many teams asking for hints when I asked this question. Two of the same, two different.
Yeah. I mean, it is a question stripped down to its very base.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It tells me that, and I'm not asking for hints,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of self-sussing for the listener.
Right. It is just you and me today, so we are forced to self-suss.
Right. And no one wants to just listen to silence. And I don't want to have you editing a bunch of silence.
Thank you.
But it tells me that it wouldn't be like two strings because it's not made of two strings. It
just
would
dangling in the breeze.
Has two strings, exactly.
String chimes.
So made of two. Allochrome. So I'm trying to think of chrome as a suffix for an instrument does sound familiar. Something chrome. But I can't put my finger on what it is. Auto harp keeps coming to mind because allochrome. A-U-L-O. Allochrome. That is made of two. This is a really tough question. It's a really good question.
Thank you.
I'm going to say two metals.
Two metals?
Yeah.
So like a brass and silver or something like that?
Yeah.
No, that's an interesting guess, though. It is a combination of two instruments. If you if you'll avert your gaze from the monitor, Mark, I'm going to play you the allochrome. This will be performed by Fabrizio Casole. This is the Olochrome. Now, the name comes from the Greek aulos, which is kind of a two-split pipe instrument during ancient, or that was around during ancient Greece, and chrome for chromatic and colored.
Okay.
So this is an experimental instrument invented in 1999.
Is it a saxophone and bagpipes?
It is just two saxophones.
Two saxophones.
Yep, two saxophones. So.
Huh.
Yep.
That's really neat.
Yeah. The Olochrome.
Olochrome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Invented by Belgian Francois Louis and first prototyped in 1999. Consists of two soprano saxophones that can be played either separately or together.
Sopranos, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's kind of like a metal clarinet.
Yeah. A little bit.
Kenny G.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd love to hear him get his hands on one of those.
Oh, God.
I wonder if he
has. Let that man loose on one. You know he's played one.
Probably in 1998 before it came out.
All right, here's your first question. Mm-hmm. What state decided to use meth, we're on it, as their anti-methamphetamine trafficking slogan?
Mm-hmm. I saw this week. This is a bit of current events.
Mm-hmm.
And I even saw one of the ads that had like a farmer.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know it's a Midwestern state. And they got some backlash for it, and I think they doubled down. They said, hey, we're rolling with it. It's a real problem in our state. Something like a huge spike in the past couple years. Like, I was reading some statistics about it, but which state was it? I want to say it was either Ohio, Iowa, or maybe even Wisconsin. I don't know. At first, I was like, it was a short state name, but now I'm thinking Wisconsin. Maybe I remember that W coming up. I don't think it's Nebraska. I don't think it's Ohio. Iowa or Wisconsin? That's kind of where I'm settling. I'll go with Wisconsin.
The correct answer is South Dakota.
South Dakota. Not even close.
South Dakota.
I mean, kind of close to Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
Geographically.
Not too far off.
But
a little more to the left.
Yeah, one of the Dakotas.
Yeah.
See, did not insert that in the Mind Palace. You know, I could have said, oh, meth, one of the two, the South Dakota, not the North. I could have found a little place for it.
Right.
But didn't
a little
commit
nook.
It. Yep. I'm just flying this week.
Yeah. Hey.
Meth, I'm on it. Nazi soda is my category for
okay.
you for question number two. After Coca-Cola was ordered to discontinue business in Nazi Germany upon the United States' entrance into World War II, what brand of soft drink, initially made from German wartime rations, including apple fibers, mash from cider presses, and cheese whey, was developed by the company's German division in order to maintain the company's market share during the conflict, and is still marketed and distributed by Coca-Cola to this day? What brand of soft drink was made in Nazi Germany because Coca-Cola was not allowed to export basically the ingredients to make Coca-Cola syrup due to sanctions against Germany? They could not make Coca-Cola syrup in Nazi Germany. So they had to make a new soft drink out of apple fibers, mash from cider presses, and cheese whey. What
sounds
was that?
So disgusting.
Doesn't it? You don't want cheese soda, Mark?
Ugh.
I know you're a huge cheese fan.
Gross.
I was going to ask you a question about cheese, but
famously,
I didn't want you to...
One of the only cheeses I'm okay with is melted mozzarella, which is not cheese. It is food glue.
I know. You stick to that. It is a cheese, though, as well. This is like your flat earth thing. Mozzarella's not cheese? What?
Yeah.
Food glue? Yeah. I get what you're saying.
And it's distributed by Coca-Cola.
Yes. So they still own, they never lost ownership of
right,
it.
Right.
They just were not allowed to do any
gotcha,
business
gotcha,
in Germany
gotcha.
During World War II due to U.S. sanctions.
Well, I work for a company that sells soda. And we sell Coca-Cola products.
So you're familiar with the library?
Well, somewhat. I mean, not nuts. And I'm not not a lot of stuff.
Man. Would you like a hint?
You know how I am.
You're tapping away, so I didn't know if you were sussing or.
I mean, sussing. I'm sussing. I mean, is it something that's widely available in America?
Yes.
Okay. My guess is going to have to be, I think, and I'm not answering right yet, but I think it's going to have to be Dr. Pepper. I mean, I know Dr. Pepper has a bunch of ingredients in it. People always talk about how, like, prune juice in it. But, I mean, apple mash.
And cheese.
And cheese. I mean, fucking 23 flavors or whatever in it. What the fuck? Why not some cheese whey? I don't know if they're completely distributed by Coca-Cola, but we have Coca-Cola products and we have Dr. Pepper. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head that we distribute that's a soda. I mean, maybe like Fanta or something. But I think I'm just going to have to go with Dr. Pepper. Oh.
Mark, the correct answer is Fanta. Yep. It was Fanta. Don't you want to Fanta?
Oh, the word actually came out of my damn mouth.
Yep. In 1958, it was remarketed in Italy and re-recipied as an orange soda drink.
Okay.
In post-war Italy. And that's where Coca-Cola proclaimed ownership of the Fanta brand. We're back, baby.
Fantastic. All right, here's your second question.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be somewhat specific, please. What is a satanic night jar?
What is a satanic night jar?
Yes.
A satanic night jar. Never heard this term. SNJ. Satanic night jar.
The old SNJ.
It's not like TNJ, Trivia Newton John. The SNJ, the Satanic Night Jar. All right.
TMD, temporary mandible.
I know the Church of Satan is founded by Anton LaVey. That's what I know. Night Jar?
Yep.
Trying to break this down, like Satanic Night. Like a jar that you would use for a satanic night, or a night jar that is exclusively used for satanic purposes. I can't tell which is which to begin my sus path on. Night jar. What would you put in a night jar? I don't know why toenails keeps coming to mind. Are you gonna? It looks like you're about to show me a picture. No.
No.
Oh, okay.
Lord, no.
I don't know. What is it?
Yep.
You just want to know what it is?
Yep. It's a name for something.
This is interesting.
Mm.
Part of me is wondering if it has anything to do with any of these words. You know, it could be, I think it's like totally maybe something different entirely. It's got nothing to do with nighttime jars or Satanism. It's like maybe like an expression or something. Some kind of nickname, SNJ, Satanic Night Jar. I have no idea. I don't know, Mark. Why don't you just tell me? I'm just going to take the L on this one.
Satanic Night Jar is a species of bird.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
A little brown spotted bird off an Indonesian island called Sulawesi.
Wow.
Indeed. Also known as Heinrich's nightjar. A nightjar is a kind of bird. But for
do
some
do we have nightjars in the States?
We don't.
We don't. They're, okay.
I mean, maybe someone
they're not endemic.
Brought it here.
Are they endemic to India, you said? Sri Lanka?
What is it? Indonesia.
Nightjar. I want to look at this guy. Aw.
They are very cute.
Nightjar is one word.
Yes.
Hmm. Sometimes called goat suckers.
There you go.
Due to the ancient folktale that they suck the milk from goats. Or bug eaters due to their insect diet. Oh, come on. Which bird is not a bug eater? That's right. That sounds very generic.
When at rest, the bird might trill a string of quick, constant notes. Twick, twick, twick. which sounds similar to its paired calls.
Hmm. The Nightjar, a bird.
A bird.
Mark, in hockey, you know what a hat trick is, right?
I do.
Why don't you prove it then?
It's when you get three goals in a row.
What is a Gordie Howe hat trick? You know, legendary hockey player Gordie Howe?
Yeah.
What is a player, what three things must a player achieve in order to get a Gordie Howe? Or I'm sorry, what three actions must a player perform in order to achieve a Gordie Howe hat trick?
Oh. Jesus. How did you word that again? What three actions? Must a player perform. Okay. Because I was thinking maybe, because I don't know.
Or take, I guess. Actions that they take, perform. You know what I mean? They do. They do the things. What three things do they do?
My initial reaction was, because I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I think a hat trick, the other team can score in between as long as you get three in a row. So it can be like, I score on you, I score on you, you score on me, I score on you. But as long as I score three, as my initial reaction was going to be that he scored three before the other team even scored. But you making that statement makes me think that it has something else to do. Like he has to do like a deke, which I don't even know what a deke is. I think it's
you're moving your head back and forth.
I think it's when you hit it off the skate. Cause I know, remember the triple deke was something in the Mighty Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
One deke, two deke, three deke shoot. I'm wondering if I should just go with deke cause it's a word I know.
Don't do that.
That would be pretty bad.
Don't do that. No deeks involved here.
No deeks here. Suck my deke.
Look elsewhere for your deke, sir.
What action?
Three actions.
Three actions?
Yes. Three distinct actions that a player takes to achieve a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Does this have to do with getting three goals? Or is this three something else entirely?
I can't give you, unless you want a hint.
Well,
you know, the way that it's phrased is, I'll read the question one more time straight up. This is how the question is worded.
Okay.
In hockey, a hat trick is achieved when a player makes three goals in a single game. What three actions must a player take to achieve a Gordie Howe hat trick?
Okay. All right. Thank you. So this has nothing to do with goals then. Okay. You threw me off with the hat
trick. I was just trying to go in conversationally.
Gotcha. No problem.
Yep.
Just threw me off. Sometimes I'm like, is this a podcast or is this trivia? Which is it?
Blurred lines.
I know you want it.
Ooh. Remember that?
Do you think that song's problematic?
A little bit.
I'd say a little
bit. It's pushy. It's definitely got a pushy vibe,
yeah.
like Baby It's Cold Outside. It's like the same problem, I guess you would say. And it's also ripping off a Marvin Gaye song.
That,
yeah. So, yeah. Double problemo.
Sure.
I'm not really listening to it, but Blurred Lines, it's like, yeah. It's the Pavlovian response. For me, when
that reminds me, I gotta watch the rest of last week's Masked Singer or this week's Masked Singer. What three things does someone have to do? What three actions does someone have to do to get a Gordie Howe hat trick? I'm gonna say get into fights, three fights.
No, there are three distinct actions. So fighting is one of them. Get into a fight.
Oh, okay. Get into a fight. Score a goal.
Yes.
And what else do you do in hockey? You fight and you score goals.
Come on, man. You watch Letterkenny.
and get put in the penalty box.
Get into a fight, score a goal, make an assist.
Make an assist.
So close.
Yep. All right, here is your last question of this, the first round of trivia. What fictional bear was originally known as Edward Bear.
Edward Bear, fictional bear. Edward Bear. Edward is an English name. And I do know of a English fictional bear that likes marmalade named Paddington. So it could be Paddington Bear. I don't think it's Brother Bear from Disney's Brother Bear. What other fictional bears are there? There's Zangief from Street Fighter, but his name is Zangief.
Is he a bear? Are you talking about?
I mean, who's to say?
Sex bear. Gay bear.
I mean, take a look at him, man.
It's true.
I'll go with Paddington. I feel good about that. I'm having a hard time thinking of other fictional bears right now, even though I know that there's several in our pop culture sphere. Paddington.
Winnie the Pooh is actually named after Winnipeg, Canada. Winnie the Pooh's name was originally Edward.
Oh.
Bear.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, this is one of the questions that the loud sus was going on, and the drunk man said Paddington very loud, and I think kind of led people down that path.
God damn it.
Because a lot of people
I even heard him. Well, sitting here.
I think a lot of people with Edward, yeah. I mean, when I saw the question, when I first was reading about it, because I had read about it in a news article about, I guess, Winnie the Pooh being sold, like an old thing from Winnie the Pooh being sold at an auction or something like that, but sold as Edward Bear. And I was like, Edward Bear, another name for Edward could be Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Teddy Bear? Like, I thought maybe there was something there, even though I know Teddy's usually short for Theodore. I was like,
right,
trying to make some kind of connection there. Yeah. I was kind of surprised when I saw Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can totally see why you would say Paddington or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even think about Winnie. So yeah. That's on me. All right. Let's take a little break.
Let's do that. Take a little respite, and then we'll come back with round number two and some more goodies. Got here.
Let's go ahead and start with some missed corrections.
Are we let in?
Yeah. I thought that's what we just did.
I was just asking. I thought we were just doing cutting room shit.
Okay. Oh yeah, and then I was gonna cut it when you said, "What are we starting with here?"
Oh.
I was gonna go right into
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right.
All right, what are we starting with here, Lee?
We got miscorrections.
All right. Miscorrections.
All right. Not sure. This first one's from Andrew. Not sure if this is really a miscorrection or not, but in episode 72, we got a little remix of the miscorrection ditty, miscorrections to the tune of Rate My Question.
Whoops.
Did you notice that?
Nope.
I did while we were editing because oh. I had to put the music behind it and stuff like that. Anyways, LOL. Anyway, that's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Andrew. You win the no prize. I was wondering if anybody was going to catch that. So thanks. But that is not it, Andrew, for we have a what I would say is a devastating missed correction from Dallas.
Uh-oh.
The answer to the question, what is the only Disney title character with no lines or vocalizations, is incorrect. So the answer that we said was Dumbo. Dallas writes, when Dumbo is unraveled from a blanket and seen for the first time, he sneezes after being tickled and squeaks before his mother goes mad. And he Damn. Included a link, and I clicked on that link, and I watched the scene, and it's hard to deny that there's a vocalization, because there is. There's some squeaking, and if you allow that, then there are other characters like Old Yeller, like Tarpon Charlie's is pointing out. So that question, I think, is just bunk, basically. I don't know if there is one. Thoughts, Mark?
Yeah, when you said sneeze, I was going to say a sneeze is a sneeze, but a squeak.
Yeah, there's utterances.
Yeah,
there are utterances for sure. That is
absolutely 100% of vocalization.
So, sorry about that. I'm just going to blame that on my wife. She wrote that question, so I'm not going to take the heat for that. Kyle, can you come here?
Oh, this is going to be good.
First of all, congratulations on the successful Kickstarter, and yes. Thank you to Gil and Spencer the Chef for kicking in.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Any other no listeners that kicked into Kyle's Kickstarter.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate you, my love. I couldn't have done it without you.
Right? I love you and appreciate garbage, you I'm just as well.
Trash, even though I kicked in and I kicked in for you, I guess I'm just trash.
A special thanks goes to Mark.
Oh, that, there it is.
Special personalized thank you to Mark Davis.
Regretting bringing this cough onto the podcast.
known as Mark fucking Davis to my phone.
So, Kyle, if we can get down to business here.
Oh, God.
We have a miscorrection here.
Seriously? You brought me in for this?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You wrote the question.
Okay.
So you know about this already?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear the miscorrection that I already read?
Yes.
Okay. What do you have to say for yourself?
What do you have to say for yourself?
This is your question.
She scoffs.
Where did this question come from?
Google.
Okay, so you found it on a website?
Yes, and I verified it.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did not verify it because Dallas sent in a link here of Dumbo squeaking.
Okay.
It says vocalization.
Well, so I wrote the question in the way that I did because I wanted to distinguish the difference between Dumbo and Wall-E, because Wall-E doesn't, I mean, although when looking back, I could have just kept it in with lines of dialogue, because like Wall-E technically has lines of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like he says like Wall-E and you know,
yeah.
So like that's technically a line of dialogue. So I should have just kept it in retrospect, should have just kept it with what is the only Disney title character with no lines of dialogue.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would have been
so that's why I
line of dialogue.
No,
I would not say so.
If I'm a animation producer and I'm going down my call sheet for actors and I need a squeak, it's dialogue.
And animated would keep Old Yeller out.
Yeah.
So I would say that would have been the way to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, a little bit of a miscorrection turned into a rate my question. So it just needs some fine tuning. It's a fine question, but it in order to get that answer, I don't know if you could. Maintain this question in its current phrasing and have any answer, right? I mean, is there any other character that comes close to Wall-E or Dumbo?
No.
Or Old Yeller? Yeah. So it just needs a slight tweak. Dallas, thank you for clarifying that. I totally forgot about that squeaky scene in Dumbo.
I haven't seen Dumbo since I was a child.
So do you bring anybody else on the podcast to shit talk them for their question or just me?
You were here and you wrote the question.
Okay. You're
just handy.
Whatever.
You happen to be here a lot, so, you know. Yeah.
So thank you.
Sure.
And thank you for writing that question and the other questions.
And many questions.
Fuck you very much. Thank you.
My wife. I love you, babe. Wow. All right. Just got 10 degrees colder in here. If you'd like to write us a miscorrection or rate my question or even just a little no note, you can write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or find us on social media.
That Facebook group is blowing up.
I like it.
Like the World Trade.
Yeah.
As Biggie Smalls once said, pre 9/11, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oops. But I mean, that was post bombing, though. There was an initial bombing before 9/11. So that's what the reference to was, right?
I think so, yeah.
Still a little insensitive.
And then,
not that he was around to see.
We know what happened there.
The full irony of his, lyrics there.
That was a bummer.
Mark, do you want to kick off round two here?
You know what? I'd love nothing more. Allow me to bring up my list. Question number one of the second round. Built in 1964, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge was the longest suspension bridge in the world at the time and connected what two pieces of land?
I know this.
Do you really?
I do. My parents were there. It's in New York. It connects Brooklyn and, oh my God. Shit.
Staten Island?
No. No, you take the ferry to Staten Island. My parents were there when it was built. They like that was like their hangout spot was under the bridge. And they always talk about it. Like there is a big giant photo in my parents' bathroom of the Verrazano Bridge because that's like that was like yeah.
So what do we got?
I think it's Brooklyn. And like Manhattan? It's one of them is Brooklyn. I think it's Brooklyn and Manhattan.
It's not Long Island?
I don't think so, because my parents wouldn't have been going to Long Island.
Well, they were just hanging out on the one side, right?
Long Island.
They were just hanging out on the one side, on the Brooklyn side, though, right? They didn't go over the bridge. They're just hanging out there.
They were just under it.
I feel like they
used
it. Like
the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I feel like they used it. Like it was like it. Like they were like, oh yeah, this helps with like seeing each other or something.
So, Mark, you said the world's longest suspension bridge
at the time, 1964.
That just seems like it wouldn't be that long of a distance, Brooklyn to Manhattan.
Well, it's definitely Brooklyn. It's one of them. Okay. So where else would it go? Maybe it is Staten Island.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I feel like...
That seems further away from Brooklyn than Manhattan.
If my parents ever heard this, they would, like, disown me.
All I think about when I'm sussing is, like, the person that knows exactly it and is screaming at their car. Or at their stereo, rather.
Yeah.
Let's go with the... I don't know. I feel better about Staten Island, but you feel better about Manhattan?
Staten Island would make more sense.
Let's do it.
So Brooklyn and Staten Island.
That is correct.
I love you, sussing partner.
I love you, babe.
All right, Mark. It is time for your first question.
Okay.
Well, I guess I hope Kyle didn't write any of these. Did you? I don't know if you did.
Kyle, go away.
Did you see?
I need to suss alone.
Number three.
Palace this week.
I wrote Palace.
I don't think you wrote this one. So, okay. But you saw the sheet. Just if you know the answer because you read it, just you know, take a pass on it. Classic television.
So wait a minute. No. You get a sussing partner and I don't?
Well, these are the questions.
You didn't know anything about that answer. It wasn't for
her. That was on me.
You would have gotten none of that. She's the one with the parents with the photo.
Yeah, but you didn't know. You didn't know that she knew. I know that she had access to this question.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. So you get a sussing partner and I get Jack?
Mark, this is the question that I'm asking. Okay. So you can either take it or not. Okay.
Go.
What American variety television show first aired from 1955 to 1959 on ABC and was revived in 1989 on cable? And again in 2017, airing exclusively on social media.
Okay, so I actually don't know this. So we can suss together, Mark. I guess you wrote this question. But I did write a lot of Palace this week.
On social media.
American Bandstand.
Bandstand.
Or what is that one? What is that one show? Like Super Gold or something? You know what I'm talking about?
Super Gold. No.
I think it's one of those like dancey shows or like
Soul Train.
Yeah, like Soul Train or something.
It's a variety show?
Yes. American variety show.
I wonder how you're defining variety show.
There's a variety of types of entertainment on the one show.
Like the Gong Show.
Oh, man. God.
Yeah, like variety types of entertainment wouldn't be like American Bandstand. That's all music. It would be something where it's like, here's a juggler. Here's someone singing. I think, you know.
On ABC it premiered?
From 1955 to 1959.
Yeah, that's the original run on ABC.
And then what?
And then it was revived again in 1989.
On what channel? What network?
On cable.
On cable.
For 1 year?
No, that was into the 90s a little bit. That's not included in the question, though. That's not the important. The important part of the second part of the question is that it was revived twice. First in 1989 and then again in 2017 on cable and then on social media exclusively.
I guess the link.
I could give you even further information about it. I mean, this is like, you know, a show with a long history.
Right. Yeah. The length was important to me. I mean, because if you mentioned the length for the first time, so. Like Star Search, you know what I mean?
Oh, shit. Maybe it's Star Search. Search
was around for a while. I don't know if it was around the 1950s, though.
Yeah, and 1989 doesn't make sense because it would have been like the 90s as well.
That's why I was asking about the length of time. If it was just 1989, no. But I know it was around in the 1980s to 90s because I remember watching Ed McMahon's Big Old Dumb Face and him like having people out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if Star Search was ever around the 1950s. Maybe it wasn't. I just don't know it.
Seems like it would. Star Search is probably the best guess.
All right, we're going to go with Star Search.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is the Mickey Mouse Club. So, yeah, it was like 89 to probably like 93. But when I was writing it, I was like, do I want to give three ranges of dates with six dates? That's like so much to think about. You know what I mean? So that's why I just shortened it to, all right, it was revived twice.
Yeah, and then in the 80s, it had Ryan Gosling and Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, here is your next question. Everything Liddy. I love when it's hot. Turned up the city. I broke off the notch. Got some more millies. I keep me a knot. I created history and made me a lot. Is the beginning of the chorus of the hit song Hot by what rapper?
No idea. I can't help you. I'm useless.
You fancy yourself somewhat of a rapster yourself?
Somewhat of a rapster.
A rapster.
That's a good way of calling it. I'm a rapster.
Can I call you a rapster?
Not a rapper,
from now on?
A rapster. Hot. I'm getting vibes from the Dirty South. The Hot Boys, perhaps.
Can I hear the rap again?
You can. Everything Liddy. I love when it's hot. Turned up the city. I broke off the notch. Got some more millies. I keep me a knot. I created history and made me a lot.
Sounds like it could be Lil Wayne. I don't think it's Juvenile. But I don't know for sure. Hot.
Is it Cardi B?
Juvenile had a song, I think, called Hot, but he said yeah a lot. He was like, hot, yeah. Yeah was like on the end of every line.
Is it Lizzo?
Maybe it is. It could be Cardi B or Lizzo.
Those are the only rappers I know.
Cardi B had that single, Hot, I think.
She did?
Or no. It was, no. That was I Like It Like That.
Okay.
That was what she was sampling. I was thinking of Buster Poindexter's Hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Get on that, Cardi B. Sample that next time.
No.
While you're pulling those Latin rhythms.
No, sample Don't Drink and Drive.
So embarrassing.
Lil Wayne?
I mean, I have literally, you would know better than I have.
Onion Ring. I mean, Lil Wayne.
Onion Ring. I vote Onion Ring.
Is Lil Wayne the one they call Wheezy?
Yes.
He produced it.
Okay.
But the rapster is none other than Young Thug.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a guy named Young Thug.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Young Thug.
Okay. Good for
you.
You
are young and you're a
thug. Is he one of T.I.'s proteges? Am I recalling that correctly?
So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Haven't gotten around to Young Thug.
The rest of the chorus is very good. He tried to diss me and ended on Fox. They call them chopsticks because they gonna chop. Tur her out of follies because her pussy pop.
Oh, her
I
pussy
run it
pop.
Like Nike. We got it on lock.
Very good. Good yeah. lyrics, young thug. Good job.
Very good.
So, good job with those lyrics. So fun story about the pussy pop. Just a little tangent here.
Please.
But I've been watching a lot of Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race lately. And apparently this is a term, like, I hope I'm like getting this terminology right, but apparently it's like when the pussy pop, it's like when like their tuck comes out.
I think that's really? What Young Thug is probably talking about there.
So
probably.
Okay.
We got a Buffalo Bill situation.
I'm just.
I did not know that.
I could be wrong.
That makes sense. I mean,
but I might be misquoting it, like what the term is, but I think it's something about like, yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
The pussy pop.
Like if your pussy pops.
It sounds like something you would find in the freezer section at your local grocer.
Pussy pops. Frozen for
popsicles
her pleasure.
For your cats. Cat's been coughing up hairballs all day, sore throat. Get them some pussy pops. Geography is my category.
Perfect.
For you guys. Kyle, I think I might have.
I wrote this question.
I don't think so. I think I wrote it, but I might have like said, "Ooh, I didn't know this," but maybe not. Mark, I think we all know this. This is the lead up to the question. What is the world's smallest country?
The Vatican.
That's right.
Yes.
What is the world's second smallest country?
I don't know. There are a lot of countries in the world. For some reason, Mali keeps coming into my mind. Not the drug.
Not what Madonna's looking for?
No.
Is remember she? That? At that concert, she was M-A-L-I. Like, "Has any?" She was at a festival. She's like, "Has anybody seen Mali?"
God, shut up.
That's fucking hilarious.
This is like a 2011 or something like that.
I remember talking about two countries that were in that were donuts that were surrounded by other countries.
Kind of related to this question, but not really. Those two countries were South Africa and Italy. Those are the two that
surround. Well, but there was countries. A country that South Africa was surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you said that, and it. I know the answer now. I remember now. I remember the answer.
Okay, keep it to yourself.
Okay.
I can't think of what it is. I'm going to guess Namibia because I know that we always say what? Namibia for answers.
No,
that's funny.
Namibia.
I don't know.
Namibia is big.
I mean, that's close.
Kind of. Huh?
That's close.
Is it?
It's in Africa.
Monaco is the answer. Monaco.
Monaco. I think I did know that.
It happens.
Here's your last question. Of the second round. Before emptying into the Dead Sea, which sea, popular in the Bible, does the River Jordan flow through?
The Red Sea.
Sure. The Red Sea.
Oh.
I wish I'd thought about that. You
the
just sounded so confident.
Is the Sea of Galilee.
Damn it.
No, I wouldn't have gotten that anyway. The Sea of Galilee?
That was the River that was Jordan the quickest wrong through? Answer I think ever on this podcast.
I just trusted Kyle.
I know.
She was like the Red Sea.
Well, I... Yeah.
That was your oops.
I should have gotten that, actually.
All right. My third question for you guys. Kyle, you wrote this question, so sit this one out. This is a music question. Which 1954 garage demo by the Penguins went on to become a definitive doo-wop hit and has since been covered by artists such as Joan Baez, Tiny Tim, The Crew Cuts, Johnny Tillotson, Coldplay, and Marvin Berry and the Starlighters. Originally by the Penguins in 1954, garage rock hit, covered by Joan Baez, Tiny Tim, The Crew Cuts, Johnny Tillotson, Coldplay, and Marvin Berry and the Starlighters.
I love this question. I'm very proud of this question.
It's a good one.
I will say there's a hint buried in the question.
The Penguins, I know, I think, like, on my iPod, I think I have one song by the Penguins on there.
I wonder if it's this one.
It's got to be. I know Joan Baez, but I don't know what very I don't know her stuff very well. Tiny Tim, the only song I really know by him is Tiptoe Through the Tulips, which I don't think it is. I don't think I ever heard Coldplay cover it. I know he did another song.
That's a hilarious mental image, though.
Right.
Coldplay covering Tiptoe
Chris
Through the Tulips.
Chris Martin, mm-hmm. behind a piano.
Tiptoe.
Playing the piano line for Clocks. Dee-doo-doo, dee-doo-doo, dee-doo-dee-doo-doo, dee-doo-doo, dee-doo.
That's so silly.
Singing
Tulips, I tiptoe through them.
But I remember Tiny Tim doing a cover of something where it was like, oh, it's weird that Tiny Tim is doing this song. But I can't remember what it is. And I have no idea Chris Martin or no idea of what Coldplay did. Joan Baez.
1954.
Penguins garage rock
hit.
It's
a garage demo.
It's a garage, like the demo there, the garage demo became like the single.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was a doo-wop song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitive doo-wop hit.
Tiny Tim, Speak to Me. For some reason, I feel like Tiny Tim's version is the one that will pull me out of this. But I'm just not getting anywhere with him. Minute Timothy.
I think the version that we are all familiar with of this song is the Crew Cuts version. Because the Crew Cuts, they were a white doo-wop band and they covered it and but the original song was recorded and written by the Penguins.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Crew Cuts. So I've heard the song, I'm sure, but I'm not familiar. Like, that era is so rife with fucking the John Boys and the fucking song that everyone knows,
this one
but you've
song.
Never heard of the John
yeah,
Boys.
Yeah, never did anything else. Yeah.
Made enough money and got enough fucking, you know, notoriety for the rest of their lives off of that one song that it didn't matter. Albums weren't even, like, records as we know them weren't even a thing back then, you know? Doo-wop. What is a doo-wop song that Tiny Tim would sing? Would he sing Blue Moon? No. Would he sing, now, like, my mind, I'm just drawing a complete fucking blank. I'm gonna go with, Why Do Fools Fall in Love?
Okay. Oh. So I just want the hint that was buried in the question was that it was covered by Marvin Berry and the Starlighters. And if you're familiar with pop culture knowledge, like pop culture stuff, they were the band from Back to the Future who played at this Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Okay. And they did
Earth Angel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Is that it for both of us, or?
I think so.
Okay. So we're going to take another little break and have some final questions for you. We've got some final questions to get through before we call it an evening, and hopefully we'll get to these Rate My Questions next week. Just running out of time in the recording booth here.
Bada bing, bada boom.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. All right. It's my turn to go first, I guess?
Sure.
Okay.
Do it.
Mark?
Yes.
Kyle, as we established in that little break, this is something that you and I were talking about last night. So we'll just have to watch Mark sus on his own. In music, what is a mondegreen? M-O-N-D-E-G-R-E-E-N.
Oh, my God. I know this, but I don't know this. I want to say it's like almost like I want to say maybe mondegreen is something close to like a misheard. Like we talked once about an acorn. I mentioned acorns on here for a question that you had, which was very close to the answer you were looking for, but was, I guess, technically wrong. But it's like a misheard thing that people will say, like, intensive purposes instead mm-hmm. of intents and purposes. That it's something like that. Like a mondegreen is something like a... So I don't know exactly how I would... But, you know, in music, I'm going to say a misheard lyric.
That's right. A mondegreen is a misheard lyric.
Wow, good sus.
Yeah. Call 911.
Someone help me.
That was it.
That was great.
He's foaming at the mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember because I remember being on Wikipedia and looking around, and I knew that it was a related article to something I was looking at. I knew it wasn't anything musical, and it wasn't until I was like, "Well, I know." That's why I was like, "It's got to be lyric based." And then I was like, "Well," when I pieced it together with the acorn thing, I was like, "Oh,
mm-hmm.
well, if it's lyrical and it's."
And sus.
It's something acorn related. It's got to be a misheard lyric.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. It was a phrase coined by the writer Sylvia Wright. She heard a Scottish ballad, and the original lyric was, "and laid him on the green," which she misheard as, "and Lady Mondegreen." Like it was a character's name, Lady Mondegreen. So Mondegreen comes from that. You might also know... or have heard people saying, "Excuse me while I kiss this guy."
Which is what I thought it was when I was a child.
The Jimi Hendrix line. Yeah.
There's a bathroom on the right instead of there's a bad moon on the rise.
Yep, there's another one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mondegreen, misheard lyric.
Fantastic. Here's your guys' last question. We asked a question about Scrabble before. Have you done some research on Scrabble tiles?
Not since,
Should have.
Oh, okay, another one.
How many 2-point letters are there in Scrabble?
The same fucking question.
Nope.
With it's 2 instead of 4.
Yep.
This is not a variety show, turns out.
You would know this better than I do.
2-point tiles. I can tell you that the man who invented Scrabble is named Alfred Mosher Butts. The year was 1838.
Mm-hmm.
A bingo is what you call when you use all of your tiles at once. However, in France, that's called a Scrabble. It's the only version of the rules where that exists in. 2-point tiles?
Yep.
5.
I'm going to say... How many tiles are there?
There's 26.
So there's, I mean, yeah, there's...
Oh, wait, 27.
There's 100 tiles, but I'm asking how many letters.
Right. Which letters?
So I'm not asking how many tiles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You said 5?
But the way this phrase, you could write down the total number of tiles. I feel like you'd have to accept that.
You said 5?
No, I said how many 2-point letters are there?
Oh, okay.
Not how many 2-point tiles.
Okay.
So you said 5.
Distinct.
My bad.
No problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I
think I'm going to go 8.
All right. 7 then? 6.5?
6.5.
6.5.
Let's go 7.
The correct answer is 2.
2? Only 2.
D and G
are
the only 2-point tiles in Scrabble. And that's why I thought this was a good last question and an interesting one.
Because there's two and it's 2 points?
There are 10 1-point ones. Mm-hmm. And then there are loads of 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But there are only 2 2-point tiles, D and G.
All right. Kyle, thanks for joining us for the last two rounds here. Mark, always a pleasure.
Thanks.
That concludes this episode. I don't even feel like doing this right now. We're done. We're just going to skip the outro this week. Thanks to our Patreon. Go review us 5 stars. We got to go, folks. We'll see you next week.